Coming to you from Cary, North Carolina, and Jackson, Michigan, it's the Get Options Podcast with your hosts Adam Silver and Kyle Maurer. This is the show where your WordPress questions are given some serious and not so serious options. And here they are.
Why, hello, and welcome to episode 47 of the Functioning Get Option Podcast, the irreverent, fun advice show with your life with WordPress. I'm Adam Silver with my buddy, my co-patriot, my best pal in Jackson, Michigan, Kyle Maurer. Say hi, Kyle.
Hi, Kyle. What's up, dude?
Not much, you know. We're back. Another week, another show.
Can I just say, I can't believe it. Whenever I look at the number of episodes, I'm like, gosh, wow.
Yeah.
We've been doing this a while.
Yes, we have.
47.
It's almost, man. It is actually.
Only a few more episodes to like be as old as you.
Well, hey, no, we are as old as me right now. Just FYI.
Wow.
Yes.
A milestone.
Dun, dun, dun. So now people know how old I am and send me gifts. Actually, ironically enough, as far as my age goes, I went for a run 2 days ago and felt pretty good. It's been a couple of days since. And then I came back and finally started getting to the garage because one of our friends keeps pestering me about that. You know who you are out there. And I had to move some boxes around and I moved one box. Well, I moved a whole bunch of boxes, but one of the boxes I moved, clearly I did not use my legs. I just used my back and my lower back is like a little twingy still. It's like it was just tight. It's that lower sacrum, sacrum. I don't know. I forget what it's called. The lower spinal area. Sucks. Yeah. So taking it easy.
Oh, man.
Taking it easy.
When we were younger, my brother and I would always be out hauling wood with my dad. And he was always saying, lift with your legs.
Yeah.
And when we were lifting the big logs, and we always thought it was the funniest thing to just purposefully get it wrong and shout out the lift with your back advice whenever anybody's like we weren't listening or something. I don't know why we thought it was so funny.
Yeah. It's, yeah. You got to take care of your body.
Feeling old.
Yeah. You got to take care of your body. Right.
Yesterday, I went and played backyard football with some friends, and I feel old this morning.
Yeah.
Wow. Gosh. I struggled to get out of bed. My whole body hurt. We didn't even play tackle. And it was just a lot of running, and I feel ancient.
Well, you haven't run in a while. I mean, you were telling me when you were running and stuff, you know, one time you actually FaceTimed me during a run last year during the winter. But I haven't seen you out on the streets running in what, 6 months?
I've been out a little bit. I try to hit the gym a couple days a week, but often I'm not disciplined enough or starting my day early enough for a very extended run.
Yeah.
But yesterday was pretty intense. I love, and I mean really, really love, a good game of backyard football
with
friends.
I remember. I mean, it's the same thing when you were Camp Ann Arbor. You loved it. That was your thing.
Awesome pleasures.
Right.
It's just amazing. I had an absolute blast, but my body is just like killing me for it.
You can't just do it every 4 months. You have to do it like consistently, right?
When I arrived, I said, all right, guys, we're playing geriatric rules because I'm the oldest person here.
Nice. What else is new besides your body hurting?
Oh, man, that's not right. The end of winter sale for sandals went really well.
Nice.
We were watching the sales every day, trying to exceed last year. It's kind of our standard, or the year before, because it's been a couple of years that we've been running an end of winter sale. And we were pleased with the results.
Nice.
It's interesting to watch these sales because we have now four brands that are running essentially the same sale, same technology, same discount amount, the same marketing effort. But each brand ends up performing differently. And that's fun to kind of dissect. Why does, you know, maybe Affiliate WP do really well? And then if this EDD, maybe not quite as strong, or, you know, on certain days, that's interesting to look at when they're both being marketed. They're all being marketed the same way, but they don't perform equally well.
Right. I mean, I will say
every brand did well. It was great.
I do love the EDD. I mean, I don't know if I mentioned it last week or not, but I put up a store on over at Kitchen Sink where I'm selling a PDF, an 8-page PDF of my script for my email CRM system. Did I mention that last week? Because I'm going to right now. But no sale. I'm selling
awesome.
It, but it's not on sale because it's only $10. So if people want it, you know, by all means, let me know. It's what I spoke about a little bit at the WordCamp Greenville. So I'll link to it in the show notes if people are interested in it. $10. Come on.
Yeah, people should take a look. It's a pretty cool thing that you put together.
Thank you. Yeah.
Did you happen to read my blog post about selling ebooks?
I did. Yeah, it was ironic because that came out the day, I think that came out the same day that I launched that little, it was like a week and a half ago. Or was it a weekend?
Easy Digital Downloads blog.
Right.
I wrote an extensive post.
Right, I did.
All about just selling ebooks because that's one of the largest segments of our customers is people trying to sell ebooks.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, I am honestly going to recreate the page. I used to have a really popular page on Kitchen Sink where it was tutorials. And I could see the analytics. People would always go there. And it said for the first 2.5 years of that page's existence, coming soon. So people want information tutorials and to buy stuff from me, I guess, or trainings. I just never did it. So I took the page down when I did the revamp or before that even.
Coming soon.
So now I'm going to relaunch the little storefront or the tutorials and, you know, ebooks, and I'm going to have more call to action that as well. So, yeah, anyway.
How many other things do you have that are coming soon?
That's it. Just
which
that.
means something different to Adam Silver than it does to the rest of the world.
You know, actually, you know, what's funny is what you've never seen. I actually have a short film that I wrote, produced, and was in called Coming Soon. seriously, and it's been edited, but it's the editor didn't do a good job on it. We wrote this and produced it and shot it 17 years ago. Should I put it out there? It's on Mini DV. It's on Mini DV. It's a script. It's something I wrote, but yeah, it's called Coming Soon. I think you get a kick out of it. I'll pull it out of the archives and maybe I'll share it sometime.
I hope you do.
Okay. Hey, the other thing I want to mention real quick here was apparently I wanted to shout out to Dustin, our buddy Dustin, a happy belated birthday. I asked him just last night, I go, how was your day? And he said, what's the haps? He wrote, not much, just finished all the celebrations and waiting for one last guest to arrive. And I'm like, huh, what? Dope. He wrote, yeah, Kyle was here, wrote me a custom song, but the guy on the harmonica forgot to show up. So you didn't tell me you played football in Dustin's backyard.
Oh, right.
Awkward.
Yeah.
Awkward.
Did I leave that out? My bad.
That's awesome.
We're both looking forward to seeing Dustin before too long because we're planning to be in Dayton for a work camp. Is that right?
I don't know. I mean, maybe.
Maybe. Yeah. If all goes well, we will see Dustin in person.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
At some point. That would be fun.
Yeah. All right. So moving on to the news. Oh, I have this to play.
This is the point at which we do talk about everything that's new.
Okay. I still love that. So the news, couple of things. I'm going to mention this one. I'm going to say, I think we mentioned it last episode about the Hello Dolly lyrics.
Yeah.
So now officially it
started a conversation. That's for sure.
That's right. So the official, the offensive lyrics will officially be removed from Hello Dolly, and a possible musical icon will be placed next to the lyrics. That way people know it's from a song, not to be taken out of context. Just a random sentence people that don't know. So I did read that.
That's a good idea. Yeah. That kind of helps.
Yeah.
It's musical.
Yeah.
Did you see, I don't know if you followed along, but I was on Twitter last night and there was quite a bit of conversation happening about mostly inspired by comments on that post, which then, you know, like I said, sparked a conversation on Twitter about the comment, about the post, about the actions taken on the plugin. And so it was quite the thread.
Yeah.
There's some people angry, some people like it's no big deal. There's some people like this should, how can, you know, Jeff allow these kinds of comments on the WP Tavern community site? And others are like, it's just, you know, you can't censor people. And other people are like, just get rid of Hello Dolly. And others are like, chill out, man, it's all good.
Right.
Let's just get along.
Yeah, I read the news. I did not read all the comments in this case specifically. I'm like, you know what, good, fine. So here's the happy balance is they're going to take away some offensive lyrics or the offensive lyrics and then comment on it, almost comment out on it as far as an icon to say that it's a song lyric, so it's not just, you know, someone's randomness being so random. And that was it. I didn't feel like going down the rabbit hole of and being upset before I went to bed.
Starting an interesting conversation for sure. There's a lot of people with solid points. It's not all about the lyrics anymore. now this conversation is about the actual plugin itself and about the conversation around it. This conversation's about the conversation.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it's very
like
meta.
How the conversation is getting out of hand. And it's weird. Yeah. It's weird. Yeah. I'm not contributing to the conversation.
Me neither.
Purposely.
Yeah. All right.
I don't think it's, maybe it's not my place. So
what did you
we're
think?
We're talking about it here now on this show, though.
That's it. And we're done. So, what did you think about the other piece of news I put in as far as Let's Encrypt wildcard certificates are now available? Does it affect you at all?
It's amazing. I love it.
Okay. So, great. Fantastic.
Yep.
You know what it does Fantastic. For anybody?
Of course. Wildcards SSL. Everybody knows that. Come on, man.
Okay. Yeah. For those who don't, just to let you know, wildcard certificates enable site admins to secure all subdomains with a single certificate. And this is really good for sites that are running multi-site networks. That's all.
Sure.
Okay. FYI.
It's pretty dope.
Yeah.
I mean, wildcard SSL is like the bomb.
Yeah.
And we've been waiting for this for a little while. Yeah. And now and pretty much every site should have Let's Encrypt.
Right.
And be all set. And the web is better.
Right.
The web is much better.
This last thing would really affect more about you do as a developer and working at a dev shop, per se. The whole issue here about WordPress, I guess, who was it that wrote this? Some Delicious Brains.
Polson, I think, from Delicious Brains. Yeah.
Yeah. Who wrote it, actually?
Which is a great blog, by the way.
Right.
I mean, they just set the bar for great WordPress blog posts.
So there's a blog post here about... WordPress plugin developers should stop supporting legacy PHP versions in the plugins. And so it's a long post. I mean, it's long and it has a ton of great stats, I guess is the way to say it, about, you know, and the reasons why you shouldn't support old versions of PHP, because we want PHP to be forward thinking and not be so archaic, if you will, or have security risks or vulnerabilities and speed, right? It's also about speed. So I'll link to that in the show notes as well. Pretty interesting. But Danny Van Kooten did a tweet about it. Stop supporting PHP 5.2 in new projects. So it's interesting. And backward compatibility, all those things. So when WordPress.org does actually recommend PHP 7.2. So it's not it's a soft requirement, but it's a strong requirement. So anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a weird thing.
5.2, the branch is 7 years old. And 5.5 is only a year and a half old. So, you know, on the dev side of things, you want to be backward compatible. Obviously, you need to support that to some extent, but there has to be a line in the sand.
Right? Yeah. Here's the problem with this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We see a lot of people in our community, you know, tweeting, blogging, talking about the importance of, you know, getting up to date and using modern technology, updating our PHP versions and stopping this and stopping that. Well, guess what? We all agree. You're preaching to the choir.
Okay.
The people who are not doing this are not actually involved in the conversation. They are not attending our events, and they're not following you on Twitter, and they're not reading your blog. We're not. You know,
so how do we spread how do we tell the people who are developers to do the right thing? I mean, which developers are those? So you're saying there's two camps is what you're saying?
There actually are a lot of developers who have
no idea
are just not involved, who have contributed plugins. There are thousands of plugins on the WordPress.org directory, thousands of them, which were contributed by developers who are absolutely not involved in any conversation whatsoever. They don't know how the directory works. They don't know how the WordPress community works or that it's even a thing. They don't attend events. They don't read your blog. They don't follow any of us on Twitter.
Do you want to save this for the rant?
There are tons of... this is real. Like, this problem has been going... We've been talking about this for years. And... It at a certain point, and this has already been acknowledged by people kind of at the top of core development, a more more of an direct outreach approach is necessary for bringing WordPress into, you know, a more modern age of PHP. And this maybe involves hosting providers going direct to sites running old PHP versions, or you know, managers of the plugin directory, somehow outreach towards plugin developers more directly, not just putting out a post on the Make Plugins blog, which
right
all of us who follow that are already totally buy into this plan. Like, we're all on board. We're the choir here.
Right. yeah. Okay. Yeah.
The problem is there are thousands and thousands who don't follow that because they don't care.
Right. All right. Fair enough.
It's tough. It's tough. Yeah. Although I don't want to come down on Ian, because I think it's a great post. He's totally worth writing, and I'm fully supportive.
Yeah. I'm trying to see. You said it was Ian that wrote it?
Ian Poulsen, I think, is the author of the post.
You are correct.
Please.
Yes, it is. You're right. I was just double checking that. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, it is a good post. Read it. I'll link to it in the show notes. Okay. I think that's it for the news. Do we want to? I know what. Let's do this real quick. This is the segment where we talk about people on the move and who've gone to different companies. And I don't know anybody who moved this last week. So next.
Shoot.
Do you know anybody?
Shoot. You got me.
Yeah,
you got me.
Yeah.
My little brother did get a job offer.
Hey, congratulations.
Yeah. Yeah, he did. Actually, and
is that Peter?
Fiance got a job offer too. Yeah, that's funny. Actually, well, I think she got.
Who?
He got a job offer. She got a job offer.
Who's she?
Kind of like within a day or two of each other.
You said she so fast. Who it was. Who was the she?
Oh, his fiance.
Oh, his
my
fiance.
Younger brother's fiance.
We missed that. Okay.
And she is going to be working for actually someone that I don't know if you know, but it is someone in the WordPress community, and I probably should mention it after it becomes official, I think.
Yeah, maybe. Let's wait.
Anyway.
Okay.
So, yeah, technically it's something happening.
All right. Sounds good. Cool. Well, congratulations to them. Yeah, but no one else. I mean, I haven't gotten a job offer in this last week, so you always think I'm getting all. I'm not moving anywhere. I'm just doing what I do.
Yeah.
All right.
You haven't slammed the door in anyone's face.
Wow. Yeah. Right.
This week.
Anyway, moving on.
What you wearing? What you reading? What you drinking? What you wearing? What you reading? What you drinking?
Oh yeah. What you wearing? What you reading? What you drinking now? Love these.
I'm wearing a WordCamp Dayton.
Oh.
No. It's not Dayton.
Oh.
It's WordCamp North Canton 2015 speaker hoodie. Sipping on some coffee and water from a Grand Rapids water bottle. WordCamp Grand Rapids water bottle. And I actually just finished David and Goliath by Malcolm Gladwell.
Wow.
So I'm about to pick what my next book will be.
Okay. Cool. And I am actually wearing a brand new shirt that's been in my closet. It was like kind of, it was rolled up. I didn't see it there for about a year and a half. My wife even, she goes, hey, I've never seen that shirt. I'm like, it's new to me. It is a 2016. What's it say on the front here? It says relax. And the back says we got you covered. It's actually by Sightlock.
Yeah.
So I got Sightlock. Yeah, it's a nice bright red shirt from 2016. And I'm drinking coffee out of my WordCamp Maui mug, but the coffee is by Jilt from WordCamp Miami.
Coffee by Jilt.
Right?
That's awesome.
It's like, yeah.
Yeah.
Jilt is, by the way, you know Jilt. They're awesome. They do abandoned. Oh, I'm doing some testing on them as well. Abandoned cart service. So if someone comes in, puts their email address, and then leaves the cart, you know, they get that follow-up email a couple hours later, maybe a day later, then 3 days later with a discount code, etc. Very cool. Yeah. So I'm digging it. So.
I loved the relax campaign, if you will, that Sightlock did, because they got it for WordCamp US and then they brought in the massage chairs.
Right.
And,
and they totally copied me on that, because my tagline for concierge is relax, we've got this. I was first.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Just saying. All right.
You and I think got massages together.
I think so.
At their booth, didn't we?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
That was pretty fun.
It was. All right. Moving on to, hey, you know what time it is?
Oh, shoot. I believe it's time for me to fly.
Nope. Sorry, I had to cut you off there. That's right, people. It's questions time. You sent them in. We read them. We researched them. And now it's time to give you some options. Are you ready, Kyle? Are you ready? We got some questions.
I'm ready. I'm ready.
All right, I'm going to ask you the first one here. Here's the first one. So this is a slightly modified question. I'm going to be honest about it. That came in to But it came in through the channels, if you will, the ethers. So what are some options to get Google to index my site? The modification was they were curious that would Google block certain content from being indexed? That's a whole separate question. But I just want to say, so what are some options to get Google to index the site?
Right. You write him a letter. Asking nicely.
Huh. Because I was sincerely. Well,
site owner.
So is that all you got? That's an option. I have an option that I think is equally is equal to that. Whereas, you know, just remove the coming soon page.
That's a good start.
See?
Part of the, you know,
yeah.
Maybe even make a pilgrimage, go to the Google campus
No, that's where you're wrong. You can save time.
Hand out flyers, shout on the street corners, please, anybody.
You can get one of those twirler sign boards, you know, the arrows, and maybe or
index my site, please.
Yeah. You can save the money on the travel by
ask me about my website.
You can call 1-800 index my site.
You probably haven't even seen that movie. That's a joke.
Which I missed the.
Ask me about my website.
Sounds vaguely familiar.
Wow. Yeah. See, we don't watch the same movies.
I just got Silicon Valley. I got the season one. I'm going to watch it and catch up. Okay. So you zip it.
All right. That's a good start. Okay. That's a good start. Yeah. A couple years ago, Ash and I went to the Google campus and walked around, and it was pretty fun. It was really cool. I wish I could spend a little more time there just exploring, because it's quite the place. But as for the question,
yeah,
seriously though,
how to
get Google to index your site?
I have a couple actual options that are probably more valid than calling 1-800 index my site.
Yeah, I remember in the early days of doing this where even then it was not much of a thing. But there were ways to like submit your site to Google, and it was a big thing. There were all these sort of scammy services all over, like pay us or
we'll submit it for you.
Website and we'll submit it to 100 search engines,
right?
And you know, all this goofy stuff that the poor, unfortunate, unsuspecting website owners don't understand and just fall victim to.
So you can submit it to a website URL to search engines. Yes. I mean, Google, Bing, Yahoo, they all have that. You can also create a sitemap. That'll help. And
the problem is like the search engines find it on their own.
Right. Right.
You don't need to submit.
Right. But you can also, but what helps though is if you create the sitemap, or if you submit a sitemap to Google Webmaster Tools and create Google Analytics, then they're more aware of the fact that the site is live. Because it's in the system.
If you uncheck
that box.
If you uncheck the discouraged search engines, WordPress pings the search engine.
Right. So, you know,
you don't even need that. Like, the search engines will index stuff you don't even want them to index.
Exactly.
Like, their spiders crawl the
everything.
Web constantly. They follow every link. So if there is any possible way to access your pages publicly,
you know, it's actually
search engines will eventually find
it. And you know what's harder? It's harder to sometimes get things fixed, because I've actually acquired a client's site where the developer had just another WordPress website in the title. Yeah. And because of that theme, because of how they did it, and they did some it took forever to get Google to actually remove the old index and update it. It seriously took me about 2 months to consistently and continually resubmit it, new sitemap, requesting it, and then also, you know, deleting the old one. It was just crazy. But it finally got done because the client wanted the, you know, when they do a search for their company name, it came up with that, you know, that bar with, you know, the information like in the six tabs kind of thing, or the six areas, you know what I'm talking about?
Right.
Yeah. So, and you can't control that either. People, I want that. Well, that's up to Google if they're going to display your data that way when you get the top billing and you get those breakouts, right?
And the more that the index doesn't treat all sites equally, and some sites with more activity, more frequent changes, more traffic, better rankings and more links to them will be crawled far more frequently, and their respective indexes will be more frequently updated. like as new pages and new blog posts are up or introduced and pages right. are deleted and sitemaps are added and all that stuff, that will more quickly reflect on the search engines than a small, very rarely updated, very low traffic and website with few backlinks. Right. Those sites will be slow to update in the search engines.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay. So that's some options for you for the question. For the actually, I wasn't asked the guy who asked the question. Just so you know, his name was Warren. Just FYI.
Oh, Warren. Yeah. Well, our PSA for this is don't think that you need to submit your site to search engines or anything like that. You don't need to do that. You need to make sure it's indexable, and you need to write great content and make sure that links to your content exist on the internet. And then just focus on making great content
right.
and marketing your business. Don't worry about the search engines. They are extremely powerful and will find every page on your site.
Exactly. Okay. You want to ask the next question?
Why would I want to use a CSS preprocessor? I don't know who asked this question.
This was by Paul.
Paul, thanks for the great question. Why would I want to use a CSS preprocessor? Adam, tell me. Tell me.
To sound intelligent and to be cool.
Exactly. There is no other reason. This might be the simplest answer to a question we've given. Why else would you?
You know, I've heard of preprocessors. I can't say I've ever used one. I know people who have, but it was like 4 years ago. I'm not sure. Technically, is it still a thing? Are they a thing?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Do you, I mean, you are a developer. Do you use a preprocessor?
At times.
Okay.
At times.
And I
CSS preprocessors. Yeah.
Yeah.
They definitely up your cool factor. So if you feel like, I don't know, yeah, I write JavaScript and CSS and you, and like, maybe that's not cool enough for you. You want to go deeper down the rabbit hole and, win extra like pretentious points. You know, maybe next level is some preprocessors with some build scripts mm-hmm. and so forth. But they do have some real value. Now, I'll split it into like what they do and then some reasons why their value is maybe slightly being diluted. So first, what a CSS preprocessor is, and for I'll also note, CSS isn't the only language out there that has preprocessors.
Okay.
You can do some of these things with like JavaScript, but what it is you write in a different syntax
right.
or format,
mm-hmm.
and then it gets compiled to CSS.
Okay.
And that's what, you know, like it a script runs over it and builds a CSS file that web browsers will actually be able to use.
Right.
Because the browsers won't be able to read your pre-processed language.
Right, right.
It's written differently. But this allows it to do fancier things because CSS is not a programming language. CSS doesn't have very much power. It's just like annotations for your markup mm-hmm. so that the web browser will style your page.
Right.
So you're writing very, very simple rules like this text is yellow. Hopefully not.
Right.
Hopefully you're not writing that very often.
You know, this
font family is Comic Sans.
Like, for example, you can't do variables in CSS.
Right, right. The browsers don't understand that.
Right, but you can in a preprocessor CSS. You could do it that way and give us a variable for a color. Right.
Right. Because you're writing this separately. Like people who are familiar with like more traditional compiled languages. Mm-hmm. So programming, there's compiled programming languages and then there's runtime. JavaScript and PHP are runtime,
mm-hmm.
which means the code is executed as it's written at the time that the application is loaded. So a website page is loaded, all the PHP is run the way it's written. But other languages, like, I don't know, languages that I don't write, like C++ and so forth, are compiled. So you write it, and then you have to compile it somehow before the program you wrote can be run.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense.
And that's kind of similar to how preprocessors work. You write it a certain way, and then a script runs over it to compile it to your end goal, which is CSS. And the reasons that we do this with CSS are because CSS is a pretty limited language. It's pretty dumb. And if you're doing, if you're writing a lot of CSS, like you're doing theming, the reason I don't do a lot of pre-processing anymore is because most of my work is on plugins. And when we're writing CSS, it's just minimal. It's only a few lines of CSS to make our admin page look a little better and get our form to fit inside of an admin page or something along those lines. But if you're writing a theme, you might be writing thousands of lines of CSS.
Right.
And I don't do that much anymore.
Right. Makes sense.
When we were doing client sites or when I was writing custom themes, a preprocessor was a godsend. So when you're the most common preprocessors are for CSS are LESS, mm-hmm. LESS, and SASS, SASS. I always used SASS, and I loved it. And there's some really great talks on SASS on WordPress.tv.
Oh, maybe maybe you can put some in the show notes, and we'll link to that.
Yeah, yeah. Brad Parbs did a great one that opened my eyes to it years ago.
Cool.
And it's super fun because when you're using SASS, you can do things like set variables. You can have one a variable called blue, and then you can use that throughout. And then that means if you decide to change that, it instantly reflects throughout your entire file. And that's pretty powerful. You can even write functions. You can write loops. You can nest. And when you actually start nesting your CSS rules in SASS, you're like, this is what CSS should be.
So it should work this way, but it doesn't. Let's cut to the chase real quick. So you're saying that beyond sounding intelligent and to be cool, it actually has a true day-to-day real world functionality to know and use a preprocessor of, let's say, CSS, SASS and less.
No. No, totally wrong. I'm just kidding. There is one other thing that I'll add just like to hit some hot drama little bit. One of the cool parts about SASS is partials.
Ooh.
This means you can separate your rules into different files. Now, we don't do this in CSS, and here's why. In CSS, you are loading a style sheet often. Mm-hmm. In the head of the web page. So when a web page is loaded, it calls the actual page and then includes any extra files like JavaScript files and CSS files that it needs to style and build the page. Now, the more of those you add, the slower the page can load because it's making extra HTTP requests. Mm-hmm. So you generally try and concatenate and minify whatever your CSS into as few files as possible. There's some cool plugins that help you do this, but you know, if you're building your project from scratch, you want to bring it into ideally a single style sheet. That's awesome. One HTTP request to get all your styling.
But
it makes your code not modular. It gives you a massive file.
Right.
And what happens when all your CSS, you want it to be modular. You want it to be separated into like, these are the styles for the header. And these are the styles for this other section. And these are the styles relating to fonts. You can't make it modular. But in SASS, you could, because you can separate all your files into partials. And then the build script, which compiles them into CSS, runs through all of them and compiles them into one big delicious style sheet that your web pages will use. However, with the advent of HTTP2, a new big thing,
right,
that kind of changes how the web works a little bit because that allows a much greater number of HTTP2 requests to be sent concurrently,
right,
without
load
a performance impact,
right,
on the DOM.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I remember that came out. It was like a year and a half ago when they said when that standard got announced.
Yeah. It's coming. It's out.
It's out. But
the ability to use it is a little bit messy. But that will allow you to kind of make your CSS modular. You could have different style sheets and load them concurrently and get the same performance that you would now with a single style sheet.
Man.
So there will be not much of a need to like smash everything into one file anymore.
Right. Like they say,
makes things interesting.
Code is poetry.
It kind of is. Okay. So cool. That's like the short version.
Wow. That's the short version. Okay. Well, thanks, Paul, for the question. It is, you still want to use it, and we'll link to the show notes, and Kyle will find the WordPress.tv talks, and we'll link to that in the show notes. So.
Can do.
Okay. All right. I think that is it. Oh, no. That's it for the questions. We have a segment. We have, what's this one called? We're doing the,
Vague Rant Up.
That's right. So here's the audio for that. Vague Rant Up. That's it. we haven't created the bumper there. So do you have one? Or I know I have one.
You go first.
Okay. You sure?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So we all have to go grocery shopping, as you know, right? And unless you've just moved into your neighborhood, you know, well, we all know our store, our home store or stores. And you probably go grocery shopping at least once a week, maybe twice. Depends on how many kids you have and how fast these people eat. And if you have kids, you know, you have to take them with you. You can't just leave them at home because if they're under a certain age. And it's not legal to leave them in the car, even with the windows down. So I'm just kind of getting to a point in my life where you know your store, right? And I repeat, you know your store, meaning don't go backwards through the aisles. You should know the layout of the store at this point of your life. It's one thing to forget while you're at the checkout line, you run back real quick or send a kid, but to go back and forth and not know where you're going and be all confused. I mean, come on, people. Stores rarely move things around. They don't do spring cleaning. They don't remodel very often, if at all, although our local Aldi is remodeling. And I'm just saying, for the sake of my sanity and blocking my flow and my grocery shopping experience, plan accordingly. Don't go backwards. Okay. That's all I'm saying.
That's beautiful. That's wonderful.
Thank you.
I love it.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. It's an important lesson. You're justified in your rant.
Yeah. It's, I mean, I contained it, but I don't know. All right. What do you got? Mm-hmm.
I got a support ticket the other day.
Oh, no. That.
Yeah. And this might not be that vague, kind of specific, I got a ticket, and in my defense, I thought I was handling the ticket just fine. I really believe there's nothing I'm disappointed with, but it was kind of a complaining response in the threat of a ticket. And, you know, there have been times, admittedly, where I was a little slow on a response of a ticket, and I said, all right, you're kind of justified in being a little frustrated, but most of the time, no. And in this case, definitely no. And so what a customer said to me was something to the effect of, why is this taking so long? If we can't get a faster resolution to this problem, we'll just have to find another plugin to meet our technical needs. Which I love. And by love, I mean hate. this kind of response, which I've gotten now and then. So this is, I don't know if you've had this sort of thing before, but we get a high volume of tickets for our products. And now and then I get this cute little response where someone makes a threat and threatens to leave and threatens to use another plugin. I'm just going to use WooCommerce. And
that's awesome.
I just want to say bye, Felicia, because I do not care. And when you make those kinds of BS threats, I just feel like, great, more power to you. It's
right.
Been fun. Now I don't have to deal with you anymore. Hooray for all of us.
Mm.
That's how I feel. Of course, that's not how I answer my tickets.
Of course
not.
And does your boss listen to the show?
Oh,
that's unfortunate.
Well, I doubt that.
Yeah.
I doubt that.
Okay.
Nobody I know listens to this show.
Oh, that's not true. Not true.
Oh, shoot. Can I just take back everything I've ever said?
Nope. It's time to wrap it up.
All right. Well,
let's put a bow on it.
Just don't ever say that sort of thing in your support tickets, people, because it's bullcrap. Don't make those goofy threats. It's lame. And, dear listener, we appreciate you. We're grateful. We're thankful. We're thankful for so many wonderful things. The fact that we've gotten to 47 episodes, it's
woo-hoo!
Amazing. 47. The fact that Adam has made it to 47 years of age. That's amazing. So cool. The adventurous life that he has lived.
The most interesting man
full
on WordPress.
It's been awesome. And this has been a rich and full experience of recording this podcast 47 Street episodes, and we've had so many great questions along the way. Do you remember your favorite question ever, Adam?
Nope.
I don't.
Not yet.
I don't. It's so hard to choose because there's 47 times whatever number of questions we answer.
Well, I think
never pick my favorite.
What was the one that you asked me when it was a personal question? Oh, I think, was it the one about, I asked you about being a parent, and you asked me one. That was one. I think one of those was my favorite, I think, at the moment.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
All right. Moving on. Finish up.
Yeah. Well, we want more of your questions.
Tons more.
Actually.
We need more.
Like a lot more. Yeah. A lot more. Yeah. The queue's been running a little bit. We've got a little bit low lately. That's so okay. We need some more questions.
Yep.
And some more interesting stuff. You know, 2018 questions.
Yes. Tell
us a little bit about the stress going on in your life. Some of the things that, like, you feel like, I don't know if there's a solution to this problem. I'm a little stressed. I'm feeling a little burned out. My business isn't growing as fast as I want it to. Give us some of these open-ended questions and let us just lay down our wisdom.
There you go.
You know, before you, for your consideration. Maybe we'll help you out. You never know.
You never know.
You will be helping us out. That's one thing, you know. So send your questions to us. Email them questions at getoptionspodcast.com. Go to getoptionspodcast.com. Leave us a voicemail or dump questions into our contact form.
That's it.
And we will answer them on a future episode, and it will be fun.
Right on.
Everyone.
And you can find us each online. Kyle is over at Mr. Kyle Maurer on Twitter. I'm over at Hey Adam Silver. I'm also, we are at get_options. And we'll see you next week. All right. Bye. Say bye, Kyle.
Bye, Kyle.